Good morning, everybody. How are you? Sun ain't shining, but it's not a bad day. You know, it's not really bitterly cold. The wind ain't blowing real hard. Good to see you all here today. How about we turn to page 598 and let's stand 598. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, the doors are open here today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here, sit amongst each other, Lord, have a bit of friendship, fellowship, shaking hands, talking, Lord, just loving up on each other, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for our Christian church family, Lord, that we care for each other. Thank you, Lord, for this great nation we live in, Lord, the many freedoms we enjoy. Lord, I pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, Lord, that maybe somehow, some way they turn to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, each and every one of us to revive within, Lord, and may that revival fire, Lord, just spread like fire. And maybe we'd see it in our nation, Lord, and might turn back to you. Today, Lord, our pastor's going to preach. You've laid a message in his heart, Lord. I pray that it would speak to each and every person here today. And Lord, if someone needs to get right with you, may that person do so today before they leave. Thank you for this time, Lord. Love everybody here today, Lord. Just pray, Lord, you'd see us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. 273, please. 273. See, tonight, 6 o'clock is our evening service schedule, what God expects and a pastor likes to see from a church. It's good stuff, folks. You're missing out if you don't come. January 10th and 24th is our personal evangelism. The 12th and 26th is the Wilton Bible study. We have a deacon meeting on the 19th at 6 o'clock. The 21st is Iron Sharpens Iron here at the church. Check your mailboxes back there, those that apply. Evidently, they're getting kind of full under some names. There will be members-only business meeting on the 22nd at 6 o'clock. This will take place for our evening service. Fellowship will be at the end of this month. Kitchen team is Autumn Sharon and Kathy Sawasi. Pastor Soft of the Week, do you possess attitudes and actions that are conducive to a growing church? Whew. Guys, you come forward. Take out the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for getting us here today. For the good week we've had, Lord, you provide our every need, Lord. Food and raiment's all we need, Lord, and you give it to us all. Thank you for that, Lord, especially the protection from keeping us from the storms, Lord, keeping our homes, all of it, Lord. We just thank you so much for it. We're going to take up an offer now, Lord. We have a chance to give back to you. Lord, it's only a small portion and only a measly amount for what you've done for us, Lord. But be with the gift and giver, Lord, as we do so. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. That's one of my favorites. Doug's going to sing for us now.
Just got my exercise there going up and down the aisles. So thinking it was an evangelistic meeting or something. All right, we're going to sing The Savior is Waiting. The Savior is waiting. Don't you let him come in. There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before. And now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your troubles will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in.
Thank you very much, Doug. It's a great message in that song. Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Along with what that song has said today, Jesus is still waiting. He's still patient with us today. And let me just assure you that what takes place here today in the preaching of the Word or in your involvement with the Lord will do one of two things. It will either draw you closer to Him or will separate you further from Him. There is no neutral in God's gearbox. But I greet you today in the Lord's names, and in His names, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, among around 40 other names that Scripture gives to the God of the Bible. But I greet you today, and I'm glad to see all that are out today. We have a nice crowd here, and we even have some visitors. We want you to know that you're welcome here. You're in the presence and fellowship of God's people, and so we're thankful for that today. I like to look at worship service a little like a wedding or even a contemplated marriage. And you've heard me use the term before about dress rehearsal for heaven, but this is also dress rehearsal for a wedding. And do you know the wedding we're talking about here? Our wedding, when we get into heaven, when the church is taken into heaven with Jesus Christ, we are His bride and He is our groom. And for those of us that are participating in wedding rehearsal meals, sometimes they're a blowout meal. And that's really how we should look at the gathering of the church, that this is a time of fellowship and joy about what is yet to come. But also understand that if you're not happy here today, we understand we're on this side of eternity. But when you gather with the believers, folks, those of us that are believers in this room, we'll be together in heaven for eternity. So you better get started what? Enjoying one another and take each other for who we are and be thankful to the Lord for it. Well, the topic here that we've been on starting last week, by the way, ushers, if any of you don't have a handout from last week, if you weren't here or if you have misplaced yours, and I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but you can look it up on the website and hear it. There's some blanks, or you do have permission to cheat here today, or I shouldn't say to cheat, but to copy. So if you say, I didn't get that blank, I'll never forget one time I took a herbicide test, and I won't mention any names, but the persons have passed into eternity. But these tests could be quite hard, herbicide applicators tests on the farm. They could be quite difficult. And, of course, there was an older neighbor, and I could hear him saying, what did you get for number 3? But that's okay here this morning, and it's very much allowable. But the title today, our continuing message, is The Keys to a Biblically Successful Church: Unity, Diversity, and Growth. And with that, as this is a worship service, we're going to have some corporate prayer this morning. I'll lead that, but to begin with, let's just take 15 or 20 seconds here to bring our hearts in preparation for that before the throne of God and to, again, talk to Him today, confess to Him, or praise Him, whatever you're led to do this day, but let Him know that He is indeed worthy. That's what worship is all about. So with that said, let's bow for a few moments of silence. I'll continue then with a pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running today. Oh God, our Father, as we quiet our hearts before You today and analyze the heart of our own being, Lord, and our attitudes toward You, I pray today that our hearts would be in attune to You to receive the Word, that Again, Lord, we come before your presence with thanksgiving, with praise, and that we would again let you know that you are indeed a worthy God. You are worthy of all and more that we could ever say to praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for your benevolence toward us each and every day, that your grace still prevails yet this day. Lord, you are standing at the door, according to Revelation 3, of the church in this modern age, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Lord, it's up to us to enter. You don't force us. But Lord, we stand in a day that is like that. Many hearts today, Lord, are hard and they are closed to your ways and your will. I pray today, Lord, you would soften all of our hearts, cause us to become tender, cause us, Lord, to love one another as you've commanded, because, Lord, we are all faulty. None of us have it right. Lord, we have no reason whatsoever to judge others because we need to judge ourselves, Lord, and get it right. You are the ultimate judge. I thank you for the institution that you've left here on this earth and for those of us as your representatives, and it's called the church. And I pray today, Lord, we would consider this as a preparation, a rehearsal for the wedding that we'll have with you. Lord, when we're reunited as the church, as your bride and you as the groom, Father, help us to think upward, not downward. And Lord, along with that, help us to think outward. It's not all about us. We are not the center of things. You are. And Lord, others first. So Father, help us to have that spirit within us this day. I ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive me. I can only ask for particularly, but I believe all of us in this room are sinners. That's what your word says. And I ask your forgiveness, Lord, this day that you'd cleanse us and set us aright on the right path. Now, Lord, we know that you want a successful church. Success is something that differs from person to person and from what you think. But I pray today, Lord, we would all be concerned about that and that we would want to do our part. And so some of the things that are listed in Scripture today, Lord, will help us to succeed. Whether we be big in the eyes of man, we want to be doing it right in your eyes today. Lord, our prayers go out today for members of this congregation, Lord, and folks that are in our midst, in our neighborhood, that may be struggling in various areas of their life, or whether it be sin issues, Lord, bitterness, hard-heartedness, grief, physical ailments, Lord, spiritual ailments. Father, the whole gamut exists there in the lives of this broken world and mankind. So we ask once again, Lord, that you would bind up the wounds, heal our hearts, and help us, Lord, to come online with full strength and vigor for you. Now, Lord, I'm the weak link in the chain here, but I'm thankful, Lord, that you've allowed me this great privilege to deliver your word, and I do not take that as a haughty thing. I take it as a very serious responsibility. So as I deliver this today, Lord, in your power, I ask that you would help me, and, Lord, that there would be profit from it, there'd be changed lives, that there'd be progress. And, Lord, again, we know your word will do one of two things. It'll either draw people closer to you or further away. But may your will be done as it is spoken. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I've had a little bit of crud that I have not yet been able to see totally taken out of me since COVID. And once in a while I get a tickle in the throat. But thank you for putting up with me today. Again, as I mentioned earlier this morning, we are on part two of a message that was begun last week. And there are three main things that the church, I believe, is commanded to get right and that will help a church to succeed. And I will not recap the message, but understand this. Success for a local church is found in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man. A successful local church can be where only two or more are gathered, maybe even two or three or five or a dozen people. We have substantially more than that here today at Fruitland by a large means. But numerics does not count with God necessarily. It could, and it may have a reason for the strength and the success of a church, but yet what he is looking for can be found in a group as small as two or three people that are gathered in Jesus' name. So you can look back through this, but this morning we're going to pick up the context, and you have that outline there, that page that you can follow. Hopefully you'll be able to garner all the blanks. If you don't, as I said earlier, it's okay not to cheat, but to ask someone. And hopefully someone here today will say, "Hey, no problem, I'll pass it over to you and get those blanks." But if not, you can get them off the website. But today we're going to begin under the first point that we started with, and that is unity. And unity is a major thing that God impresses upon His church. Not unity at all costs. There are times when we must separate from unruly believers, and we must separate from the world around us and be separated unto God. But unity is something we must all work towards. We have to work towards the middle in the body of Christ, in the gathering of the local church and in its operations. And so we've been looking today at some of those things. You understand that the point we're at right now is that love is what? And you have a blank. I can look this up here. But love is the bond, isn't that right? Yep. Love is the bond that holds us together. I asserted last week in my speaking that I think we struggle with that here at Fruitland Baptist. We may not even like each other, let alone love each other. And I don't think that's unique to Fruitland Baptist. I think it's unique to people. Because you know what? If you gather a given amount of people into any confined space, and I'm not just talking here about the building we're in this morning, but with any confined gathering, you are going to find what? Differences, diversities. Let me stress again, we are not to be diverse in the sense that we accept all types of things, especially if they are not, if they are classified in Scripture as sin. We never do that. But we're talking about things here that cause each and every one of us to be individuals. Because every one of us is given a spirit. No matter if we come from California, or we come from a nation across the planet, or where other, or people like me from Moscow, Iowa. You know, that's my home turf. I joked with someone this week that when I was talking about that, I said, you know, I'm from Moscow. They said, oh, Moscow, Russia? I said, well, it's close. You know, Moscow, Idaho, no, but our checks used to go there regularly. And things that, when we were looking for a grain check, they always went to Moscow, Idaho. But the bills always found us. But we are diverse. And that is a difficult hurdle to jump, that we can all dwell together in peace. And as I mentioned last week, God wants us. He says, as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. Don't go out and pick fights with people, but understand we're a little different, and respect that, because if we were all the same, folks, you think my preaching's boring, but if we were all the same, this world would be boring. By the way, boring is a word that we have banned from our vocabulary in our home. And I have a grandson here from Chicago that's mentioned it a couple of times in his time back. Where is the... He's down Children's Church, okay. But life is not boring, my folks. It's only boring if you what? You think about that. Don't shake your finger at people, John. That's wrong. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 this morning. Let's hit the ground running here. We'll be done on time no matter what. And we're investigating love and how it has an interaction which precedes our diversity. It superintends all things. If you have your device or your paper Bibles this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, immediately when you hear that chapter, you think about love. And that's why we're there this morning. And here we go. I have the King James this morning, but it uses the word charity in place of what we use normally as love. I like charity better. I told you that last week. Because let me tell you something today. People don't like to take charity, even though they take it. But when people take charity, they oftentimes try to camouflage that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I need charity. Charity is giving to someone who is destitute, who cannot help themselves. And that, my friends, is what Jesus Christ did for me. He saw me as a charity case. And He sees you as a charity case. None of us can help ourselves with the difficulties that have come about in this world because of disobedience to God called sin. We're lost. We're in trouble, folks. If you don't believe it, you better get it sooner than later. We're in trouble. And apart from Jesus, there is no hope. The Bible says the lost are with hope and they are without God. But there is hope for everyone yet today in Jesus Christ, because He was charitable to us. And I suggest this, my friends, take His charity. It's a little like the story my dad told me years ago. Maybe I know I've been here too long when I recycle stories. And Kay is really good at catching these things when I say them over and over. My aunt and uncle were missionaries over in Swaziland, South Africa for years. And so we were given the charge of taking care of their little acreage, mowing it, watching out for their house while they were gone and so forth. And one year a check for $20 came. I mowed those fields of theirs and the area around there for, you know, weekly or, you know, every other week at least, as the weather was. And a check for $20 came from Aunt Louise and Uncle Cleon. And I said to my dad, I said, you know, I think I'll, because folks, and they had money, but the point is, they were tight. I said, I think I'm just going to give that back to them. And my dad said, take it! You better take what Jesus has to offer today. He meant for you to have it. And I'm not going to judge them on that. I still am alive. I mowed the grass. I did cash the check. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus wants you to cash his check. And his account is good for it. Praise God. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Charity gives up quick and is really ugly. No, charity suffereth long. We heard the word last week, endureth, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Jealousy is not involved in real love, real charity. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly or rudely, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, puts up with all things. Folks, that is the bond that we must have in the church with each other, because as we'll find out here later, we're different. And there's all kinds of reasons that Satan's going to open up that we can't get along. Pastor John is bald. I have a full head of hair. I believe in the church you could have a fight over that if you wanted to push that far enough. But my solution to that is buy me a toupee. So you can love me. What I mean by that is, you figure out what you have to do to love someone else. It's not up to them to make themselves lovable to you, but you find a way to love others. Right? Love is the catalyst of all things, my friends. It's the driver of all things positive for the sake of Jesus Christ. We're different. We've got to work together. Now let's go on. Well, here's your blank. Unity is the will of God for his church. Most of the time. Always. As long as this is not an item of false doctrine or sin that cannot be corrected when there is times for separation. I want to tell you that. It is there and it is in the scriptures. But it is the way that we must be bent on all things. Even when there has to be disunity, we ought to have the desire and the outcome of it to be what? Unity. Okay. Now let's go to Romans 12, 3 through 5. We're going to have to move quickly here this morning. Well, we don't have to. We could make another week out of this. And that could happen legitimately. Romans 12, 3 through 5, by the way, when I come up here, I'm somewhat like an attorney. Jesus is my attorney, but I want to argue his case today with you folks and present what his word says, again, to buttress the position that we ought to have. So here it is, Romans 12, 3 through 5. Paul writing to the believers at Rome, "For I say through the grace given unto me," by the way, never forget grace. God's unmerited favor. We had our family Christmas yesterday, and I mentioned to the family what a great year this has been. Was it because of great economics? No. But what, or things like that? I said, you know what, though, family? Mom and I pray every day. And thank God that our children are still with us. And our grandchildren. See, we're so blessed we don't even know it. We even had two meats yesterday. We had roast beef and ham. Well, we had three meats. We had oysters in the shell. And that was unique. And but folks, we got this idea that Satan's planted on us how bad it is. But we're forgetting how good it is in Jesus Christ. Don't worry about it, Woodrow. It happens. Maybe it's a call from God. There was a song, you know, about I played that one time here. That got me my second letter in the file. I don't have, well, I may have letters in someone's files, but no. And we also did the Mississippi Squirrel here one time. You know, when the squirrel passed over Sister Bertha Better Than You's? Who was that? Ray Stevens, yes. We mem. When the folks from California are gone, we may play that again. We don't want them to have our image ruined, though, for them. Roland, I enjoy joking around with you. I really do. But we have a bond, don't we? In Jesus. Amen. Well, here it is. Romans 12, 3 through 5. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Bottom line, what we should be, folks, we should say, you know what, I am only something in the body of Christ because God has allowed it through his son Jesus. I've heard that, oh, you're special, you know, the self-esteem teaching and all that. Well, what the Bible teaches, friends, is we ought to think of ourselves accurately. And you know what? When I look in the mirror, I don't see good things sometimes. And I'm not talking just cosmetics. Because I can tell you on the basis of the Word of God, I have a wicked heart and so do you. It's just that some are more wicked than others. Get off your high horse. If you don't get off of it, God will knock you off of it if you're born again. You're headed for a fall, I'm telling you. Anyway, but to think soberly or seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That's, we're going to look at that in the next category. We're different. We have to be. If this church was all like me, you might as well close the doors. If this church, you think of the sweetest person in this congregation. If it was all like that person, we might as well close the doors. We think of the most radical, rebellious person in this congregation. I'm not going to say who, but we might as well close the doors because we all have to be used of God in our gifts and in the diversities he's given us to see it succeed. Everyone is needed here, by the way, but no one is required. If you ever think that it's going to go downhill because you're not here, or that you're that important in something, let me tell you, God can replace every one of us in this room this morning. He doesn't need you and I, but he wants you and I. See? Now, how far are we going? Keep me in line here. I start doing this preaching thing, and it gets me into trouble. Three through five. Thank you, Leah. I know you were there helping me, even though you didn't show it, but I know you were. Woodrow, don't be upset. You better look at it, though. Yeah. Nothing there. Well, go home today and Google in phone call from God. Teresa, do you believe me? Have you ever heard that before? You Google it in. You'll it'll give you some thought. Yeah. Anyway, we do have fun at Fruitland. So we being many are one body. Many, one in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Could I borrow a 20 from you today? Pastor, could I borrow a 50 from you? Our answers ought to be what? If we have it, yes. You get the idea. Pastor, I'm running short of food. Hey, did you know so-and-so doesn't have any? No, that's not what you do. You shut your mouth and give them food if you've got it. We are interconnected. Are you connected today? Are you connected to the interconnection? Get what I'm saying? There it is. Now over to 9 through 21. By the way, key chapters on the church, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and the operation of the gifts in the body of Christ. Now 9, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation in the King James means hypocrisy. You bunch of hypocrites. I hear that, I'll never come to church, you're all a bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, you come and show us how it's done differently. I got my hand up. Hypocrisy is what? Saying one thing or doing one thing and saying another, or vice versa. It's like, let's go to the machinist version here. When you cross thread a bolt, you can't get the nut to go onto the fastener. You're crossed up in the threads, and that's what Paul's talking about here. Let love be without dissimulation. And oh, this one, abhor. That's a pretty rough word. What's abhor mean? We don't talk hatred here in this church. Oh, yes, we do. We hate what? Evil. Cleave to that which is good. Help me out here. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. By the way, this is a whole message right here for one day. But you know how it is with me. I get myself into trouble because I get too far off the track. In honor preferring one another. By the way, you've heard this said, I'm sure, many times too. The hardest people to deal with are the... Come on. The Christians. Larry, you said it. Is that you or me? Dave, you agree on that? We better be watching how we do things, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Even unbelievers know the Bible. Satan knows the Bible. Here it is, right in 11. Not slothful in business. You've heard that said many times. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. By the way, if there's going to be, and I'll tell you another story, but we're probably not going to get where we should get today. Is everyone okay with that? We used to sell seed beans. And that's what we did prior to all the herbicides and that. We walked beans all summer because we sold seed beans to people. We had to have our fields perfectly clean. So we took four rows of beans at a time. We covered the fields, plus three cultivations. By the way, people wonder what's different about farming today. Cultivating is a good time to study the Word, because you got a lot of time with not much to do. If any of you have never cultivated, moving along at about 1 mile an hour. Devon, what would you thought of that? Sitting on a tractor, hot baking sun, watching a row of little beans, traveling at 1 mile an hour, the flies, the bugs, sweat pouring in your face. It's not conducive, but I'll tell you what, you've got some time to think and sleep. But you don't sleep on the cultivator. Otherwise, your crops will suffer from what's known as cultivator blight. Woodrow, you understand that, right? Oh, yeah. Never eat lettuce at noon either when you cultivate. Doug?
Well, thank goodness I came along a little later. I didn't listen to baseball on the radio. I've got a lot of that in me.
Yep. When you had a radio, that's really luxury. Anyway, what I was getting to, though, we raise seed beans. And, of course, you know how it is on the farm. And I've done that, too. You know, it's tough sometimes. Sometimes you can't get a bill paid on time. And so we work with each other. And so here comes truck, pickup after pickup. We load the trucks with the beans. Me and my brothers and dad, we cleaned them and got them sorted and everything. And, of course, guess what doesn't come with that? The check. Who said that? Kim knows about this. Because it's tough. And, you know, my mom would say to my dad, Edward, you ought to go collect from some of these people that have owed you for years. And he said, they know it. Don't worry about it. Now, we didn't live high on the hog, but you know what? I don't think not one of them didn't end up paying eventually. We got to be careful how we do business. Pastor, say it, Kim. This stuff's important. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. I'm going to go through these quickly, but you see, you could preach a message on each one. Continuing instant in prayer. By the way, rather than fight with someone, pray. Say, let's pray. I've never come out of a time with prayer with someone where we went back and threw more fuel on a fire. It has a way of stopping it. Bless them with distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, love everyone. Be not wise in your own conceits. And lastly, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Folks, this is the church. This is how believers treat each other, and it's how believers treat those on the outside as well. Because you know what? That may be the only refreshing drink of water someone sees in this world. Love, that's what it's about. Philippians 1:27. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 1:27. The references are shorter here, so you'll be glad about that. We might have a chance here. Philippians 1:27 and then 2:1-4. Only let, and maybe we looked, no, we didn't look at this last week, but we've looked at it recently. Only let, in the King James, it says your conversation, your lifestyle, okay? Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, Paul says, or else be absent, I may, what? Hear of your affairs. That must mean it's time for a drink. The preaching's driven me to drinking. Folks, people know more about Fruitland Baptist Church on the outside than we do within. You believe that? This church is talked about for good and for bad. Every church is. But what's he say here? That I may hear of your affairs. How do you want people to see us? How does God see us? Paul says, word's going to get back to me, church at Philippi, how you're handling yourself. That you stand fast in a divided group. That you stand fast in one spirit. One spirit. With one mind. Striving. What's that word striving mean? Working with due diligence as hard as we can. That's what it means. Together for the faith of the gospel. One more drink. Go ahead and turn to 2:1-4. Philippians. Philippians 2:1-4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or deep affections and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, Paul says, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. A real rule of thumb with dealing with people. Put yourself last, put others first. Courtesy. True concern for others, true love for others. Put them first, you go last. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul's saying, yeah, tend to your own business. You have a part in this, but it's not all about, thank you. The church is not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about us. Now Galatians 3:28. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So backwards. Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. That's the church. And lastly, Psalm 133:1-3. Psalm 133:1-3. Psalm 133:1-3. As soon as I get there. Here we go. It's the whole psalm, by the way. Behold, the writer says, how good and how pleasant it is. By the way, if you're not happy in the church, there's a reason. Because we are not dwelling in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. The blessings of God is what's being talked about there, not the Amish over at Kelowna and their soup getting in their beard. We're talking the blessings of God. What did we just sing the third song this morning? I didn't pick that song. I think Mrs. Wheeler picked that song this week. And the song was, I know you're all looking in the bullet. Fill my, I lift it up, Lord. He causes us to be blessed with overflowing, doesn't he? As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Unity will bring a blessing. That's it. There's more, but that's it on the unity. It's important, right? By the way, it's overweighted in this message. Unity at all costs. Second is diversity. And here's your blank. Diversity or differences is the strength and completeness of the body. In other words, in Paul's analogy, if we were all a leg, we wouldn't have a brain. We wouldn't have arms. We wouldn't have a foot. And we would therefore not be able to what? To function. Absolutely. So diversity or differences is the strength and completeness of the body. It is to be appreciated, not scorned. Take and love other believers for their weaknesses. Don't write that in there. That's not right. For their strengths. By the way, I could go around to every one of you in this room, and I know there are things that I could see all as well as I know some and most of you. You all have strengths. I have strengths, but I also have what? And so do you. And we can see that. But what do we dwell on? We don't dwell on the negatives. We dwell on the World War II song, accentuate. I don't sing very well. The positive, eliminate. And there's something else in there. It ends up, don't go with Mr. in between. So even when it's negative, we need to be. We got it. Take and love other believers for their strengths and uniqueness. If it's not, again, a clear doctrinal issue. Back to Romans 12, 4 through 31. We got to hustle here. Romans 12. 4 through 31. Again, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, church passages, gifts. Spiritual gifts. By the way, that's what the church is here for as well. Exercise of spiritual gifts. You've heard me say, you got tired of it in the last couple of years, so I quit doing it. But we what? We need to become changed from a consumer church to a, I'm going to have to go back to it again. A producer church. The gifts. Production. Growth. Here it is, Romans 12, 4 through 31. Quickly here. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself. We already read that. Why'd you let me do that again? So we being many, verse 5, are one body of Christ. Those are important. They all fit in here. And every one members one of another. Having then gifts, and here it is, diversity. See the word there? Our gifts differ from one another. According to the grace that is given to us, and he goes through all the gifts here. I've had messages on those. We'll do that again sometime. By the way, I can't preach it every Sunday, the whole book. But we can preach it as we go, right? But the point here, what? God has created every one of us individually with specific good things, again, to contribute to his body. None of you is here today by accident. And God has created you not by accident. You can look through all this. We've looked, again, at some of this already this morning. But this is the church. It's a diverse group of people. And here is verse 18. I left off at 17 earlier. I just wanted to reference this to you. If it be possible, doesn't say that it can always be possible, but if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Don't bring your nunchucks, your brass knuckles, your staffs, your throwing stars to church. That got a few smiles. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Leave it in God's hands. You don't have to fight these battles. God says, don't fight them. He says, let me handle it, because I'll do it right. You won't. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Love people. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is, folks, through 21. I may have had a bad number on there. I put a 3 instead of a 2. But the point of the matter is, folks, and that's all I'm going to say about that, the church is made up of different people, diversity. And it is its strength. If we weren't all different, it would not function. Praise God. And we need to work toward that. All right, last point. We do have a possibility of finishing up here today. And again, there's much more in the book about diversity, but it's very important. We're different. Third point and final point, key. Third key, growth and glory. Growth and glory. We're not here just to exist. By the way, someone has asked this before. Why does an industry exist? How would you, or a business exist? How would you answer that today? Well, I'll help you because we don't have the time. You might say, well, it exists to employ people. It exists for the stockholders or the owners to make a profit. Well, that's true. Shane, you're a businessman. You know what else would you come up with? I don't want to put you on the spot, but why else do businesses exist? Well, one, I'm thinking you, Shane, to pay taxes. But folks, those are all only partially correct answers. Businesses exist to serve customers. To serve. And that's why we exist in the church, to serve and bring glory to God. Bottom line, sine qua non in the Latin. That's what sine qua non means, bottom line. The sum of all things should be edification of the church, growth and glory, and glory to God, while fulfilling the Great Commission. By the way, if a church doesn't fulfill the Great Commission, the Bible's clear, it's done. Fruitland Baptist Church, we can go through the motions, we can have a building, you can do all that, but if you don't fulfill the Great Commission, you're done. You're headed for death. As a body of believers, a body must continually take on nourishment to give it new life. What did I have this morning, Kim, for breakfast? What? Yeah, I know, but what's that stuff called? I don't care for it, but I'm thankful for it. It's those little squares that got the honey and the cinnamon. When you drink the milk, the cinnamon almost chokes you. What is it now? Whatever it is. You know the problem, though, with the cinnamon, right? I drink the milk. Kim serves breakfast in a square bowl. Now, let me get that right. Square and a bowl. But I drink out of one of the corners, and that cinnamon is on top of the milk, and it goes right to the back. My throat's really sensitive anymore. I get choked up easily. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. And we'll look at a couple other verses while we're there too. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. Follow after again, Paul's writing, love, charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. What chapter 14 is about, we've preached on it before, it's about handling spiritual gifts, in particular the gift of prophecy and tongues. Okay? And we'll have a message on that sometime. But Paul says this. He says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." Okay. "For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification." Mark that word. Edification. The word edifice means a building. But the word edification means to build up. Here's the litmus test. And by the way, I was in ag class at Wilton. They don't even know what litmus paper is anymore. They've got some electronic device that monitors the acidity or the alkalinity of the soils. I said, "Why all this monkey business? Get a piece of litmus paper." "What's that?" "It'll tell you the alkalinity or the acidity of any given thing. You put it on your tongue and you'll know what your pH is." By the way, your pH should be what? 7. Leah, why are you smiling? That could be on. That, I don't know if they'll have me back down there. You know, I might have been black. No, I'm having fun with you. Well, I hope anyway. But we don't always walk on the tame side, do we, Leah? No, yeah. When old Pastor John shows up, it could get interesting, right? Where were we at here again? 1 through 5, or 4? Edification and exhortation and comfort. By the way, that's the primary reason for all messages. It's either, number one, is it going to build up? Is it going to what? Exhort or correct? And is it going to what? Bring comfort. There's another message you could preach right there on those 3 points. 3 points in a poem. "But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue..." "And he that prophesieth edifieth the church." The fact of the matter is, the tongue thing is a spiritual show-off, but the prophecy is something for everyone that can be beneficial. That's what Paul's saying there in particular. He says, what you do, make sure in the church that it brings growth and glory to God. Now, 2 more verses there, because I want you to get your money's worth. Verse 12. "Even so ye, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the..." So whatever gift God's given you in here today, just remember this. He wants you to do what with it? And then lastly, 26. "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto the edifying." Quit grinding your own axe and bring it together. Enough said. One last turn. Well, actually two, real quickly. Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 11, or 12 through 16, excuse me. This is talking about gifts again. They're given to individuals. And here he says, these gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints. In the King James, that means what? The equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith. When's that going to happen? Heaven. This is a never-ending... Yeah, I hate to use that word battle, Lonnie, but that's a word you could use. But it's a never-ending, and I don't even like to use the word task, but we're never going to get on top of this, folks. All we can do is keep working at it. See? Yeah. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." By the way, do all of us know everything about the Bible? No, not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. You can study theology till kingdom come and you'll never get all of it. And you don't have much of it to begin with. "Unto a perfect or a complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, grow up." There was a popular music group in the late 70s, some of you that are or middle 70s, their name was The Babies. You know why they were called that? because one of their producers said, "You're the biggest bunch of babies I've ever worked with." Could that not be said for the church at times? We need a nook, pacifier. Grow up. That's what Paul's telling us here. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." One more turn of the scriptures. Edification, not destruction, is always God's desire and his goal. If you're not building, you're what? Last turn, Romans 15:5-7. Romans 15:5-7. We're going to finish it. I'm a little late. I hope you'll forgive me. The word says you have to. No, you don't have to, but you should. Romans 15:5-7. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us." Last prepositional phrase. "To the glory of God." Folks, that's what this church should be named. This is what every church should be named. Glory to God, church. Because if we're not bringing glory to God, then we're doing what? We're giving it to his adversary. Folks, that's the nutshell. Unity, diversity, and growth will be what will allow a church to succeed. What part do you and I have in it? That's the point today. I've got a big fancy conclusion here, but I'm not going to read it. Well, maybe I will. I do want you to get your money's worth. A successful church can only be accomplished in repentance and forbearance and forgiveness with the Lord and one another. See, I did need to read that today. But folks, the bottom line here today, you know, we have a lot of introspection we ought to be doing. And the first place we ought to be doing it's with Jesus. But beyond that, it's with one another. And you know, we always leave a time here. I still believe it's possible that the Spirit may work on people. Hey, Jesus said what? "You don't acknowledge me publicly, neither will my Father in heaven acknowledge you," right? It's not wrong to get down and do business with God, even right here in this building where we gather. I don't know what will happen today, but I'm just simply saying we got business to do with God. We need to be about bringing him glory and going down the road together, because that's what God clearly wants, isn't it, today? You won't find scriptures to refute what I've told you today. It's what he wants. So let's examine our hearts again and see, are we really bringing glory to God? Well, folks, I'm done. Anything else you want to talk about today? Take it to the Lord. Let's stand and take our hymnals. 636, "Have I Done My Best for Jesus?" In the case of Pastor John, the answer is no. But that can change when? It can change today. Verse 1, and we'll be dismissed. "I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To him his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best of me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the changed? question to leave with today, isn't it? But you can leave with the answers and with it straight with God. He's open today on Sunday. Danny Wheeler, would you dismiss us, please, in prayer?